You're listening to the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Mike Green. When we think about California's world-famous wine country, we often picture rolling hills, lush grapevines, and fine vintages. But behind the scenes, growers face a constant hidden battle against vineyard-destroying rodents. For decades, the conventional solution was chemical rodenticides, a practice that comes with environmental risks. But today, a growing number of vineyards are looking to the skies for help. To help us learn more is my guest, Matthew Johnson. He's a professor of wildlife habitat ecology at Cal Poly Humboldt University, where he directs the Wildlife Habitat Ecology Lab. Professor Johnson is also the co-author of a groundbreaking new study this year that reveals how attracting barn owls to vineyards does something extraordinary. These birds don't just control rodent populations by eating them, they actually scare them into changing their behavior. Professor Johnson, welcome to the Exchange.
Hi, Mike. Thanks for having me.
So tell me about this study and how it came about.
Yeah, the study came about because my lab, as you mentioned in your intro, has been studying barn owls and actually other birds in wine grape vineyards here in California for about a decade now, trying to understand how this concept of inviting birds, including barn owls, onto vineyards might help control pests like rodents. And really, we took some inspiration from some other studies of predators. Probably some of your listeners have heard about the amazing work with wolves and elk in Yellowstone, and the idea that, you know, wolves not only kill a few elk, but at least as important, they change where the elk decide to spend time. They induce this landscape of fear, as it's sometimes called in the ecology world. And so we thought, hey, maybe this same thing is happening, but on a smaller scale with barn owls and their rodent prey.
So your report talks about a top-down predator effect that's double-edged. Can you explain that?
Yeah, right. This is in ecology, we talk about top-down forces and bottom-up forces. Top-down forces being the impact of a predator or an herbivore on its prey or its plant food, respectively. And then bottom-up effects being how the plants or the herbivores affect the trophic level above them going upward. With this study, we were really interested in these top-down effects, how the barn owls are affecting the rodents. And as you mentioned, that can happen sort of numerically, like they can just suppress the number of rodents, and or they can affect the behavior of those rodents by inducing fear. And we found that they were doing both in the vineyards.
Now, your study monitored 6 vineyards in Napa Valley using some highly creative scientific tools. Tell me about them.
Yeah, we brought out some strange contraptions to figure out and measure both rodent activity as well as measuring their perceived predation risk. So to measure their activity, we used camera traps, just standard little game cameras baited with peanut butter and oats and things like that to measure the rodent numbers and activity. We also used these little chew blocks, as they're called. They're used in the restaurant industry to kind of monitor where rodents might be a problem. They're like non-toxic little cubes of wax with seeds inside them, so we could put those out and come back a day or two later and see how much had been nibbled on, again, as an index of rodent abundance and activity. But to measure the rodent fear, we use a technique that's been in the literature for a few decades now. They're called giving up density trays. And the basic idea, what it looks like, it's a plastic tub, like a Tupperware tub, with holes in the side of it so the mice and voles and stuff can go in and out. And then it has a layer of sand in the bottom. And then mixed in that sand are some seeds that the mice and voles really want. We found that sunflower seeds were the best for this. And the idea is you put this out at night, and then the mice will feed on the seeds during the night, and you come back the next morning to see how much is left. And if the mice feel really safe, then they're going to continue to sift through this sand and find all or nearly all of the seeds. In contrast, if it's a very risky environment, they're going to sift through the sand till they get the easy-to-find ones and then give up because it's too risky and leave. And then so the number of seeds that are left behind is what we call the giving up density. It's the density of seeds that were left behind after the mice gave up foraging. And so we use those number of seeds as a measure of this perceived predation risk.
Okay, so when we look at the numbers, the results from this study are kind of interesting. Your study found that 38 to 52% reduction of rodents in areas with these barn owls and a 16 to 38% increase in the rodents' perceived risk that you were just talking about.
Yep. Yeah, that's right. So, you know, the farmers have been putting up these nest boxes, which we can talk more about in a minute, really for a couple of decades. So the farmers are on to something, but there, until my team came along, there hadn't been a lot of, you know, really carefully controlled research on the subject. And so this is some of the best and most recent evidence showing that it does really work. So, as you mentioned, we worked in multiple vineyards in Napa Valley, on a gradient of, you know, some of those vineyards had a lot of nest boxes with a lot of barn owl hunting pressure, and then other places had very, you know, no nest boxes at all and very little owl hunting pressure. And so that's how we could ascertain the effect of the owls on this. And yeah, we found that it really works. The owls are both, as you just mentioned, simultaneously reducing the number of rodents, but then they're also affecting their behavior by inducing this fear. So it's a really strong effect. I think it's a testament to these owls are supremely well adapted to be rodent killing machines, and they do what they're going to do. They go out there and hunt those rodents.
Well, how many rodents can a single family of barn owls remove?
Yeah, so we've done a lot of work with this species. We've put GPS trackers on them. We've put cameras on the nest boxes so we can record every time an adult comes back to bring a rodent to feed its young. And so we estimate that an average family of barn owls, so that's mom and dad and between 3 and 4 chicks, will eat somewhere between 3,000 and 4,000 rodents in a year. So they're eating a lot of rodents, that's for sure. And then but there's a lot of rodents out there too, right? So this latest study helps provide that not only are they eating a lot, they're eating enough to really matter at the scale of a vineyard.
My guest is Matthew Johnson. He's a professor of wildlife habitat ecology at Cal Poly Humboldt University. He's also the author of a groundbreaking new study this year that reveals the benefits of barn owls in vineyards. Professor, what kind of damage do mice do in these vineyards?
Yeah, they do a number of things. So there's really three rodents that are problematic in vineyards in western United States. That's mice of a couple different species, but predominantly deer mice, and then also voles, Microtus species, and then also the pocket gophers. So the mice and the voles will nibble on the vines themselves, and in extreme cases can even girdle the vine and kill it. And then the gophers are foraging more underneath the ground, and they're eating some of the roots, and so they can weaken the vine, or in extreme cases, again, kill it. So it's not so much that the rodents are damaging the fruit itself, you know, not like a weevil or something in a nut or in a fruit. They're attacking the vines. And of course, you know, vine grapes are a perennial crop. So there's a lot of investment in these vines. So losing a vine is a big deal. So that's the damage that they do. And fortunately for the farmers, those three rodent species, gophers, voles, and mice, are the three primary prey species for barn owls in this system.
Well, your lab has been involved in this work for a while, and as you said before, these nest boxes have been out there for a decade or more. How many nest boxes are you monitoring? And if a grower is listening, what is the ideal owl nest box look like, and how should it be installed?
Yeah, that's a great question. Yeah, the farmers have been doing it, as you mentioned, for a couple of decades now. My team's been studying them for about 12 years, and we monitor a little over 300 nest boxes in Napa Valley, and we've also started monitoring some nest boxes in the Central Valley of California near Lodi and more recently also down by San Luis Obispo, and we did some previous work in Fresno. So overall, we've monitored over 1,000 nest boxes, and so we have some really good data to suggest which nest boxes are best. And so, yeah, there are some pretty clear guidelines. We have lots of information on our websites and things like that. But in short, the owls like boxes that are mounted on poles. Metal poles are best, but wooden poles can do. They should be at least 10 feet high. A couple feet higher is even better. The nest box itself, it's best if it's made out of wood and at least 24 inches tall. There's another common design that's about 16 inches tall that isn't as good for the owls. And then perhaps most important is the habitat that's surrounding the nest box. So the barn owls are an open country type bird, so they like open habitats around the nest box. So that's grassland and vineyard and that kind of thing. Oak savanna is okay too, but dense, dark forest, they don't like so much because there's predators in there, namely the great horned owl. So the probability that a nest box is occupied increases with those nest box attributes I mentioned, but also the amount of these open habitats surrounding the nest box.
Okay, well, let's talk about the physical environment. We kind of assume that thick plants and leaves will give small rodents a safe place to hide, but your research suggests that vegetation cover actually gives the barn owls a distinct advantage.
Yeah, this was one of the most surprising things we found. While we were doing all those measurements with the giving up density trays and the cameras and the chew blocks I mentioned, we were also measuring the ground cover. The grass that's grown in between the rows of the vineyards. And we kind of expected that, you know, the really tall grass would be when the rodents feel most safe, or maybe that's when, you know, they're most easily able to evade the owls or whatever. But what we learned is something a little different, and that is that really when you think about how these two organisms are interacting, the mice and voles and the owls are supremely adapted to hunt with their ears. So barn owls are famous for having some of the best hearing in the entire animal kingdom. Their ears are asymmetric on the left and right side of their face, so they can really pinpoint sounds much better than we can. And when the grass is tall and or when it's been cut and it's laying down on top of the vegetation and creates kind of a thatch layer of dry grass. That creates an environment we're seeing now that basically tips the balance in favor of the owl, because as the rodents are scurrying through that vegetation, they're making all these little sounds that are betraying their location, and that enables the owl to come in and grab them.
Okay, well, some farmers might want to install these owl boxes while also continuing to use chemical rodenticides. What's your recommendation?
Well, my recommendation is that's a no-no, in short. Yeah, I mean, the chemical rodenticides are effective, of course, but they're also not restricted just to poisoning the rodents themselves. They'll kill your dog, they'll kill your cat, they'll kill and damage the bobcats and mountain lions and everything else that's in the environment, including the owls. So that's the secondary poisoning. So when these rodenticides are acting, they even before they kill the rodent, they'll make the rodent more easily accessible to these predators, and that can move up the food chain, as it were. So, you know, and this is just a general trend. We're trying to move away from these chemical pesticides, and certainly consumers are demanding that in lots of different products, including wines. So this is really a great opportunity for wine grape growers to shift away from using those chemical rodenticides and instead work with nature and specifically put up these owl boxes to attract owls to help control rodents on their vineyards.
Okay, well, we only have about 30 seconds left. How can people learn more?
Yeah, they can learn more. We've got a couple websites, so if you just Google Linktree Barn Owl, you'll find a Linktree website that has some clickable links for resources on how to design nest boxes, how to put them up, and some more details on some of our research.
Okay, we're going to have to leave it there. Thank you, Professor.
Thank you so much, Mike.